The Missouri Senate, please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
St. Teresa of Avila wrote, "Let everyone understand that the real love of God does not consist in tear shedding, but in serving God by serving those around us in justice, fortitude of soul, and humility." Merciful God, we are so mindful that throughout your teachings, your words compel us to aid those who are in need around us. We are in a difficult time for our country and our state, and we need to assist as we can bring relief and assistance to the unemployed and those who are underemployed. We here are challenged to find ways that what we do allows jobs to be created and methods to help those who are hurting. So enlighten our minds and hearts to follow where you would lead us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevaney, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones,
Senator from the 8th. We do not have a quorum, needing one more senator. Senator from the 14th. A quorum is present. The Senate is now in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'm glad you're feeling better. You're sounding better. I have two very, very special groups here. First of all is a group from Northeast Vernon County, from Walker Junior High. They'd all stand. They won the state competition in Life Smarts. Life Smarts. So they must have taken something after their state senator, maybe, huh? Anyway, their advisor is Lori Bybee, and the students are Trenton Rader, Andrew Purchase, Tori Stutzman, Jace Ventmall, Van Tellman, and Taylor Owsley. So if they would stand and be recognized. Life
Let's
Smarts.
Welcome these outstanding young people from guests of the Senator from Johnson to the Missouri Senate.
President. Okay. I have another very special group from Johnson County Hospice from Warrensburg area. They are here for Hospice Day. And if they would please stand, Kelly Long, Katie Fitterling, Leanna Hobbs, and Rose Brister, if they would wave and be recognized.
We're delighted to have these other Thank guests you. Of the Senator from Johnson with us today. The Senator from Saline.
On my left and your right, I have Ann Palmer from Odessa, and down visiting the Capitol Bay, and I'd like everybody to make her feel welcome.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Saline to the Missouri Senate. The Senator from Lewis.
Mr. President, I have a couple very special guests over to my right and your left. We have with us today Dr. Rex Lee and Dr. Deanna Berry, both from Kirksville at A.T. Still University. And they're down here going around the Capitol today. I'd like the body to make them feel welcome.
We're delighted to welcome this guest of the Senator from Lewis. Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, very special guest with me today from the Osage R2 University Gifted Life Smart Team. I have Austin Wagner, Guy Prince, Nicholas Robinson, Lucas Stieferman, Luke Sharp, and they're coached by Sharon Baker. I think they're in the gallery behind me. I'd like for them to stand up and wave, make them feel welcome.
We're delighted to welcome these guests.
And I have one more very special guest with me today. On my right, your left, Mr. President, I have Ms. Farley Burke. She's actually job shadowing for the day, and we're glad to have her. Please make her feel welcome. She's learning about state government.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Phelps to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduction of special guests, please. I have some friends of mine from Sinclair County. They are also representing the Sinclair County Cattlemen's Association today. They are in the upper gallery on my right and your left, and I will ask them to stand as I introduce their names. But Robert Salam, Susan Salam, and their son Josh, and their daughter-in-law Luana, and their children Justin, Austin, and Cheyenne are here today observing this, and I appreciate them being here and the number one industry in the state, agriculture.
We're delighted to welcome the guests of the Senator from Polk in the cattle business. Introductions. Senator from the Second.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is my esteemed honor to introduce some very special guests over on my right and your left, Mr. President. From Lake St. Louis, we have Barbara Westland, and from St. Charles County, the O'Fallon area, we have Rob and Carnett. They are with the Hospice Day. One is from BJC. The other is from Heartland. They're up with 160 people from across the state of Missouri representing Missouri Hospice Day here at the Capitol. I will not read all 160 names out of respect for you, Mr. President, but I would like to make my guests feel very welcome.
We're delighted to welcome the guests of the Senator from the Second to the Missouri Senate, too. Introduction, Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce two different groups of very special guests. First, on my left and your right, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the Blair Oaks Middle School Life Smarts team. I'll add that they recently have won second place in the Missouri Life Smarts competition. The team members are Morgan Spicer, Kathy Weath, Kyle Schulte, Joey Conway, and Rebecca Schroeder. They're accompanied by their teacher and team leader, Ms. Bonnie Baker. Can we give them a round of applause?
Let's welcome these guests. Senator from Lawrence. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator from Cole, you had others?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sorry, and I appreciate the Senator from Lawrence yielding. The other guest I'd like to introduce to my left is Mr. Nip Neidert. Nip is from Jefferson City, Missouri here in Cole County. He is here today with the Missouri State Fair Foundation, as well as many Missouri State Fair commissioners are here in the Capitol today. Nip is a fine volunteer for the State Fair, and they're out promoting Missouri State Fair. And you heard the Senator from Polk talk about our number one industry, agriculture. State Fair is a fantastic organization. I just wanted to point out to my Senate colleagues that as we're talking about the time of budget challenges and crisis, the State Fair, 90% of the money it needs produces its own revenue to fund that organization, and the other 10% comes through the wine and spirits fee that the Department of Agriculture imposes on some of our wine and spirits manufacturers. So they're a self-funded organization that does not rely on any general revenue. And I wanted us to recognize NIP and the other people in the Capitol today for their volunteer work for the Missouri State Fair.
Let's welcome this guest to the Missouri Fair. Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll pause for a moment just in case the Senator from Cole jumps up again. No, he's good. All right. I'd like to introduce a special guest, Mr. President. To my right, your left, on the end of the divan on the side, is a job shadow today from Missouri State University, from Mount Vernon, Missouri, Emily Wilson. I'd ask the body to welcome her, and I thank her for her interest today in what our government is doing.
Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from 23rd. Senator from Stoddard, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please refer House Concurrent Resolution 22 and House Concurrent Resolution 37 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics?
So referred, Senator. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will be the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar.
Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar. Senate Joint Resolution 48, the Senator from Green. What? Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
Shall be so ordered. Senate Joint Resolution 50, the Senator from the 9th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Joint Resolution number 50 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion that motion prevails, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is before the body.
Thank you. Mr. President, this resolution increases the amount of time for repaying the Budget Reserve Fund, also known as the Rainy Day Fund, when funds are used for emergencies like natural disasters during an economic crisis. Currently, the fund must be repaid over a three-year period beginning immediately, regardless of whether the emergency or the economy has improved. This amendment, if approved by the voters in November, would allow the state to delay payment for 1 year, then pay the funds over the next 5 years. Mr. President, having a rainy day fund is a smart way for our state to prepare for emergencies, but it doesn't help if it's not going to be used. And part of the reason it's not being used is that Missouri's current repayment requirement is much more burdensome than most other states. Of the 45 states that have rainy day funds, 33 states do not require repayment at all, and only 3 states have more extensive payment requirements than ours. Again, Mr. President, this fund is a great way for our state and others who are hit by awful natural disasters that we have been this year with the tragedy in Joplin as well as the flooding. We've already spent $30 million this year on the disasters, and it's expected that we will end up spending almost $150 million to fully pay for it. At a time, Mr. President, when we're trying to fill a $500 million gap in the budget and trying to balance the budget without raising taxes, it would be great if we could have provisions in our law that make this fund easier to use. I'll further add, Mr. President, that this resolution does not eliminate or reduce the legislature's opportunity for oversight of the fund before it can be used in this way. It would still require a supermajority, a two-thirds vote of the House and the Senate for us to approve its use. This resolution passed unanimously out of our committee, and I hope that this chamber will recognize the importance of it as well. So with that, Mr. President, if there are no questions, I renew my
motion. Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from Cape Girardeau?
To inquire the sponsor.
Does the senator yield?
Yes.
She yields, you may inquire.
Thank you, Senator. What committee was this referred to?
This was Appropriations.
Appropriations Committee. Imagine that. All right. Thank you, Senator. Can I inquire the senator from Boone?
Does the senator from Boone yield for inquiry? He yields, you may inquire.
Thank you for your
Senator, I was talking to the Boone County cattleman for the last 10 minutes over on the side gallery, so you're going to have to refresh me of what we're on.
Okay, we're on Senate Joint Resolution number 50, and Senate Joint Resolution number 50 deals with the Budget Reserve Fund, and it basically, the operative language is it says you have 5 years instead of 3 years
right.
to pay back funds once that's tapped.
Yep.
And for the first fiscal year after a transfer is made for budget stabilization purposes, the amount transferred or expended shall not be required to be repaid to the Budget Reserve Fund.
That's correct.
Okay. So what's your plan? You want to tap the Rainy Day Fund?
Well, what we're seeing is the governor making withholds, which a lot of us in the committee didn't think was justified.
Well, that's because we don't pass balanced budgets, Senator. We don't pass balanced budgets. And if you want to talk about withholds,
we
can go all the way back to the other
year
where you actually budgeted the withholdings that the governor made. Your first year as appropriations chair, you actually used the revenue and spent the revenue in that budget that the governor withheld.
That's not correct, Senator.
Oh, yes, it is. Look at your own numbers. Look at your own numbers.
My own numbers. Senator, so I think what the senator is trying to do with this bill is to try and find some way, if we're going to put $500 million of the people's money in a rainy day fund and then not use it when we have the biggest natural disaster this state has seen in decades, and the governor is going to continue to take money for transportation for K through 12 and money from higher ed and a disproportionate.
That's because people like you protect low-income housing tax credits.
Then why aren't we going to spend money?
Then are you
going to
pick Mizzou over Jeff Smith? That's what this is all about, Senator. That's what it's about.
Senator, all I know is that if we could pass a bill, for example, on the Callaway nuclear plant, we'd be generating more money
no,
than
you
we
wouldn't.
Need on tax
You
revenues.
Could pass a bill right now. Hey, I'm all for it because we're not giving you more money.
Killed it.
All right?
You killed that.
I am all for open bracket, close bracket, equip. You don't want to build a nuclear power plant. You want to give Ameren a $45 million bailout. Just like you did 4 years ago. And you lost there. If you want to build a nuclear power plant, go get Ameren and get David Barklage up here, who you followed directions from, and let's get a bill passed. Other than this, no, we're not going to make it more easier for you to spend money. No.
I'll stay in this inquiry with you if you'll keep it on a professional level. I'm not sure some of the allegations you're making here. If you want to talk about
they're the same ones we had 4 years ago, where you called Joan Bray a liar. We can go all the way back there. It's the exact same dialogue 4 years ago. I don't know if you want to call Joan Bray a liar again, but that's what you did.
Mr. President, Senator, I'm done with this inquiry. If you want to talk about the budget, I'm happy to talk
Perfect.
About the budget.
Perfect, because you haven't done a budget either. Mr. President.
Senator from Cape Girardeau.
To inquire the senator from the first.
Does the senator from the first yield for inquiry to the senator from Cape?
I yield.
Proceed.
You serve on the Appropriations Committee. Where are we on the Appropriations Committee? Have you guys started markup? Have you done anything?
We have not, Senator. We haven't started markup. I think we're waiting for the budget to come from the House.
Which the House is at right now. What have you guys been doing in appropriations so far?
Today we met and heard a bill from the Senator from the 13th about sweeping a bunch of funds that would, generate some revenue.
So as I understand it, because I've kind of monitored it, but I don't sit on the committee, as I understand it, you have a Senate Joint Resolution number 50 that you all passed out that basically makes it easier to tap the rainy day fund and then not have to pay it back. And then you've got another proposal to do fund sweeps, which all these people have paid fees, and that's their money, and now we're going to just take it because, hey, we want to spend it. And any other revenue enhancements or anything else that's out there?
Well, not that I can recall, but I think that your point is well taken that, some of these so-called short-term fixes will, again, plug holes in a structurally broken budget with one-time monies, which, again, is just kicking the can, down the road another year.
Yeah, it's my understanding that the House is bragging about how they restored the higher education cuts because they took the federal settlement dollars for people that lost their homes. So we're diverting money of people that lost their homes from fraudulent practices of banks. We're taking that money into GR, and by eliminating pensions for blind people and taking this one-time $40 million that we haven't received, we have no clue when we're going to get it, somehow that's going to restore the $91 million in higher education cuts.
Right, right. And instead of addressing, structural deficiencies in our budget that we've had for the last number of years that the federal government, out of their goodwill and their printing of money and their borrowing from China to fill those holes, we continue to want to not make the tough decisions and kick the can down the road for another year.
Right.
Tougher to do things, Senator, in an election year, you know, as far as making the right decisions
for the
people of Missouri.
We're not putting any of these replacement ballots. I can tell the floor leader right now, anyone that wants to do anything, go get your...
Please keep it down so we can hear the senators in debate.
Mr. President,
Senator,
can I continue my inquiry?
You may certainly continue your
Thank
inquiry,
you. Senator. Mr. Yes, President, our Senator, I can tell the floor leader, I can tell anyone else that's out here, these gimmicks have given us more access to one-time monies to continue the problem that we did when we took the federal money and we didn't do anything structurally to address the problem. They're not happening. Now, if you want to do them, I'm telling the Senate right now, go get your 18 votes, go get a PQ, because that's the only way we're moving forward on this stuff. I have had it with us not doing the right thing by setting up and addressing how we structurally fit these things. And I'm just not going to give the Senator from Boone more money to push off this problem to future generations. And we're going to hopefully have a caucus where we can unleash this dialogue. Because I've had it. I've had it. I told everybody...
Three senators on the floor. For what purpose does the senator from the ninth seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please place this bill on the informal calendar?
It shall be placed on the informal calendar. The senator from the 23rd, Senator from Lawrence.
Mr. President, I request unanimous consent for the introduction of very special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Mr. President, thank you. To your left and our right along the sidewall, we have some front lines public servants from the counties of the state of Missouri. We have our county treasurers who are with us today, watching the workings of government at the state level and speaking with all of us about needs and concerns at the county level. We're grateful to have them here. I appreciate the work they do, and I'd like the body to welcome them.
Let's welcome all the guests of the senator from Lawrence to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask unanimous consent for an introduction of two introductions.
Hearing no objection, proceed with both.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, the Missouri Trucking Association's 2011 Drivers of the Month. These drivers have a combined total of 376 years of nearly 40 million miles of safe driving. And we have today Robert Miller from Transport Distribution in Joplin, Donald Deacon from Joplin, Gerald Holsey, Carthage from D&D Sexton, Ralph Condiff from Carthage, Ronald Hoover from Prime in Springfield, also Chester Surface from Jack's Trucking in Holt Summit, Mark Bramel, ONS Trucking Springfield, Glenn Holbrook Horak from Prime Springfield, Charles Mason Conley Prime, and Thomas Miller Prime. If the body would make them welcome, we would appreciate it. They're on your right, Mr. President.
Welcome the guests of the Senator from Newton to the Missouri Senate here today. And Senator from Newton has another.
One, Mr. President, thank you. We have 34 students from the Osho Honor students from the Osho High School, and they're in the upper gallery, and I would ask you, the body, to make them feel welcome.
Will the guests of the Senator from Newton please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate? Senator, I guess they're up there. They didn't rise. Senator from Johnson.
President, without any objection, I'd like to introduce some guests from back home.
Proceed.
The bankers are here. The bankers are here. Bob and Linda Mickey from Holden, Missouri, are here. They're here with Target Bankers, and then another one of their colleagues, Doug Dole from Arvis Bank in Joplin, who's a guest also of the senator from Newton. So I'd like for my guests to be made welcome. Thank you.
Let's welcome these guests of the Senator from Johnson to the Missouri Senate. Introduction. Well, Senator from 23rd, I don't see in the chamber. Oh, go down the calendar. Fine. Senate Bill 449 on Senate Bills for Perfection, the Senator from the 2nd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 449 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill number 449 be ordered, perfected, and printed. For my colleagues, what this bill is something that I think we've talked about a few times before here in the Senate. It deals with creating a transition plan for those individuals that are living in rehabilitation centers currently in Missouri. It does not mandate that we move anyone out. It does not mandate that we make anyone change anywhere. What it simply does is says that we should put a transition plan in place if the day were to come that they might have their institution closed. Now, we've seen in the past, Mr. President, where we've had some institutions here in the state of Missouri closed due to budgetary reasons. And these individuals were given, and their families were given, about 3 weeks to try to figure out what their next plan was. We do know that we have a declining population of those that live in the rehabilitation centers. And we want to put a plan in place that if they have to move at some point in the future, the Department of Justice is coming into a lot of states and mandating that we close some institutions. So if that day were to come, we want to have already sat down with the family members, sat down with their guardians, sat down with the individuals, and asked them, where would you like to move to? Would you like to move to the community? Would you like to move to a different rehabilitation center? Is there a barrier that is in place that you cannot live in the community? You know, we've built some great new group homes on the Bell Fountain campus, so that might be a place that they would want to move to in a brand new facility versus one that is crumbling and old and needs lots of repair. So that's simply what this bill does, is it has the Department of Mental Health submit a plan for transition. Doesn't mean that we're moving anyone out. Doesn't mean that we are closing institutions. It simply means we know this day is probably coming. We should prepare for it and sit down with these individuals beforehand, listen to their thoughts and concerns, and try to create a timeline. So with that, Mr. President, I will gladly answer any questions. If not, I would renew my motion.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from Stoddard.
I would like to inquire of the senior senator from St. Charles.
Does the senator from the second yield?
I yield.
Yield, you may inquire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Is today like a turquoise tie day? Because I noticed the senator from Polk and you have on a turquoise.
I think it'd be appropriate if that's the way if you want to designate.
No, you're a trendsetter. You know, a lot of people will probably call you in the morning and ask you what kind of tie you're wearing, and they want to look.
No, actually, that doesn't happen. It really
doesn't.
But, you know, I get a lot of comments about this tie, and I've had it for months, and I wouldn't wear it. My wife purchased it for me, and I thought it was a little bit loud, but I guess it's a nice tie.
It is a nice tie.
That, so.
And your
so
wife
thank
has
you for that.
Impeccable taste.
Well, thank you, Senator. Hey, I got to looking this morning, and I saw this bill on the formal calendar, and it's something I know that you've had an interest in for a number of years. I think back when I was Appropriations Chairman several years ago, we talked a little bit about this, and there's actually been changes made in this area of our state government. We haven't done anything, but actually we have done some things already. As you're aware, we've transitioned some people out of institutional situations and placed them in more of a private home type setting, haven't we?
We have, and we've also transitioned some into other rehabilitation centers as well.
Right, right. And you know, Senator, I see where you're going with this, and it seems to be the trend. I'm talking about as years elapse, it used to be that these types of individuals were their needs better met in an institutional setting. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's some individuals that have been in institutions that maybe could live out in the community. You know, there's a strong argument that some individuals live in institutions where their family members believe they cannot. So, you know, what this study would do would identify the barriers if someone can or cannot move into the community. Do they need to be moved to another rehabilitation center if theirs were to close? Or it will identify that they can live in the community. There are plenty of supports, and they have, you know, and they have that option to have a little bit of choice in their decision making.
And we have made the changes, and I guess it's brought some savings to the state of Missouri in the way of general revenue, and also in a lot of instances, I think most, a lot of people, I'm talking about the guardians or the parents and loved ones of these disabled have actually wanted to make that transition from their loved ones being in an institution and being transferred to a private home setting. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's been quite a few people that wanted that to happen. There's also quite a few people that are very scared because, you know, this is all that this person has known. They've lived there for 30 years. And so this is just a way to sit down with them and have them share their concerns and kind of walk through it rather than have, through an appropriations process, we find out we need to save $1 million or close in an institution and you got 3 weeks, your world's being turned upside down. And also it is important to note that the Department of Justice has been going around the states and mandating that they close a lot of these institutions. They've been in Missouri. They haven't said anything about us closing down ours, but you know that also is a trend that's been happening. So again, we're just trying to look forward to the next 10 years and be ahead of the curve, and let's put a plan together if that day were to come.
Let's talk a little bit. How many of these actual institutions have been closed the last 5 or 6 years, Senator? Do you know how many institutions we've closed? I know the senator from Johnson had a facility in Nevada, Missouri, I believe, and they were making some transitions there. Did they actually shut that institution down in Nevada?
I think they're probably still in process. They were moving people out into the community. And so that one, you know, it does take a little bit of time to wind down, but that one is closing. You know, 12 other states have completely closed all of their institutions. Now, we did build a brand new group homes on Bell Fountain. I don't anticipate that ever really closing. I think that will probably be the one that stays around for those individuals that feel that they need to have that type of a setting, the brand new group homes. But if you go around and you look at the census right now, there are 637 people living in institutions here in Missouri. They tend to be older, and they tend to be medically frail. And their life expectancy by 2018, that 637 people is through natural attrition, through normal mortality rates, is expected to drop to 21 people. So over that time, we anticipate these being consolidated as people age out. And I think probably the natural progression would probably be send some of them over to Bell Fountain because it's a new facility.
I know Bell Fountain, I guess, is a facility. Is it built? I know we appropriated money. It's been almost 6 or 7 years ago when Senator from Jasper was the appropriations chairman. We also have some facilities there in southeast Missouri. I think they call them Seymours.
Yes.
And they're very well ran. And, you know, I've always been of the opinion, Senator, that the loved ones of these disabled individuals ought to have the choice. In other words, I know that there's individuals there at Seymour's that have been there for a number of years, and they're comfortable there.
Right.
They get the care that the loved ones want to see these developmentally disabled individuals get, and they're very comfortable there. And it's kind of been my experience in talking with the guardians and the loved ones who take care or oversee the care that these individuals are getting, that whenever these developmentally disabled or these people that have special needs get taken out of a setting that they're familiar with and they get thrown out of their routine, it's really bothersome to them, and it really creates problems for those individuals. And so I've always been of the opinion that if loved ones or guardians believe that their loved ones are better in that institutional setting, which they love because they get to know the employees who provide the care, that they ought to be able to stay there.
I think that's what this study is going to do, is sit down with those individuals and ask the guardians, ask the parents, ask them, you know, if this day were to come, if this institution gets closed because of budgetary reasons, because it's falling down, or because the Department of Justice comes in, what would you like to have happen, and where would you want to go? And I think that's exactly what we're trying to do, is sit down with these individuals and say, let's prepare for the future, rather than, hey, there's 3 weeks, you got to get out because we're shutting this down because we got to save money, or the Department of Justice is mandated that we do that. So I think what you want to have happen and what I want to have happen will occur basically the study is sitting down individually with those family members and saying, you do have a choice. What would you like to have happen?
Right. And I don't know the age, and I don't know what the lifespan will be on those that are in institutional care right now. But I don't want in this bill to create a situation where loved ones are forcing the disabled clients or individuals out of their home early. I think that since many of these
right.
have been in those types of facilities right. now for 20 or 30 years and they're yeah. comfortable there, that's their home. I know for
yeah,
us it's hard
nothing
to comprehend.
In here. There's nothing in here that forces anyone out of any institution. There's nothing in here that says they have to move out by this date. This is simply just the department putting on a study saying, where would you go next if this were institution were to close for a variety of reasons? But it does not tell anyone they have to get out. We're just looking for the future. We're looking at the trends. We're looking at what happened. And I think this day eventually will come.
Oh, I think it will eventually come.
But we're not telling anybody
they got to
get out.
When that happens, I don't know.
Right.
I just want to make certain that the individuals that are in the facilities feel comfortable there, that they get to stay there, that they have that choice.
Right.
You don't think, Senator, this is one of these situations, what is it that we use that term, the camel under the nose of the tent or whatever, and what I'm saying, by getting this started, we expedite that process of actually moving some of these individuals out of where they've lived for a number of years,
Senator,
because I don't want that to happen.
I don't think that's the case, because earlier this year, we know they closed Nevada last budget cycle. This year, they're shutting down the North St. Louis campus, and they're transitioning some to the community, some to the St. Charles Habs Center, and some around. So this is continuing to happen without us even doing this. So I think what we're doing is just planning ahead, saying, we kind of see this is coming. We're not telling anybody to move out, but the department is already moving forward with this. And even in my area, they're transitioning people out this year, and this is the second year in a row.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Do we really need the legislation, because the Department of Mental Health has already put forth some plans and actions that they're going to take in the future, and they have taken with our approval in the Appropriations Committee and here in this legislature. So I'm wondering, is there really
yeah,
a
the
need
department? The department is actually
something
supportive.
Of this nature.
Right. The department is very supportive of the study, because it just gives them, you know, time to go out and visit with people and meet with the guardians and figure out, okay, if this were to happen, where would you go? They're very supportive because they see the Department of Justice. They see the national trends. They see what's happening around the country, and they anticipate this happening. They're no longer admitting people to the institutions, and the move is towards the community. So they're very supportive of creating the plan, because as they come up, they get pushed back every time from the family members, because the first they find out about it is when they're going to shut it down. So they are very much in favor of trying to help put a plan together, so when that day comes, that they've gotten input from the family members, the guardians, and the individuals living in the institutions.
Yes, you know, Senator, I'm very sensitive about this situation and with these individuals. I've had the opportunity since I've been in the Senate to meet and talk on a number of occasions with a lot of the parents and guardians of these individuals that need this care. I want to tell you what, Senator, I have never seen a group of people that I think care sincerely and genuinely, and they do it out of love for their loved ones. And, you know, it's really touching. I mean, I don't consider myself that much of a sensitive kind of person, but, you know, when you see these kind of individuals that are motivated by one thing, mm-hmm. and that one thing is the love for those disabled individuals, in a society where oftentimes everything is discarded, or there's a motive behind a lot of things that we do, even here on this floor, you know, and their motive is simply this, that they love those individuals that are disabled, that not all the time can give them back the love that they give to them, but that's what drives them, and it really touches me. It really does. And so when these people come to ask me for some assistance and help, I want to dive in and help them, because I know their motives are right.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that yours is not, because I think
I think
you're headed in the right direction.
I understand that, and I think that we all share that concern. You know, if I had, we have a daughter with special needs, and if she was living in an institution, and I know that every year 80 people in the institutions are passing away just due to the census that's there, and she ends up being the only one left, I know they're not going to keep a whole institution open just for her. And so she's going to have to move. And so it's one of those things that
I want to at least have a say in a planning ahead for her future for when that day comes. And so, again, I want to calm the fears out of everyone that thinks that we're kicking everybody out to the community simply because it's cheaper to serve them. That's not at all the impetus behind this. It's just simply saying we listen to you. We know you're very involved in your children's or your loved one's future. So we want to talk with you now so that we have plenty of time to explore options so we're not forcing something on you 2 years from now in a bad budget year or if we have to shut it because of the decline in population.
And I mean, you can understand the situation of a parent who maybe has a child that's been in an institution for 20 or 30
yes.
years, and they've come to be familiar with that.
Sure.
That's home. The employees are like family. And so
and that's a good point on the employee side, is the transition plan also deals with where to transition the state employees. Because a lot of times in communities, these are good quality, jobs for that area. So it's also how do we transition people out? Can we find them places? Can we have the same person, if they move into the community, be the same caregiver and get on with that community provider so there's a continuum of care if they've had someone they're close to that's been providing care for 20 years to help that smoothing? So all those things would be identified in the transition plan as well.
Right. And I think there's a state. We've probably done a fairly good job in making this transition.
Senators on the floor, for what purpose does the senator from Lewis seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests today.
Proceed. Hearing no objection, proceed.
Sorry to interrupt that great conversation that was going on because they were talking about caring individuals and taking care of people. And that goes along with the group that I'd like to introduce right now. And they're from the Pike County Hospice, and I'd like them to stand up over here. They're to my right and your left, Mr. President. Ms. Heather Belts, Donna Ellison, and Sharon Myers. And I'd like the body to make them feel welcome and thank them for all that they do in the hospice.
Let's recognize all the guests of the Senator from Lewis and welcome them to the Missouri Senate.
Senator from Buchanan, what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I also seek unanimous consent to introduce special guests.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the upper gallery to my right and to your left, I have a group of students from Lafayette High School, the Dead Patriot Society, which is their history club at Lafayette in St. Joseph, Missouri, and I'd certainly ask the Senate to make them feel welcome.
Okay, if the guests from the Buchanan would stand, and the Senate would welcome them to the Missouri Senate. Senator Cole, what reason do you rise?
Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent. Also introduce some very special guests.
Seeing no objections, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. It gives me great pleasure behind me in the gallery. Hey, if they would stand, 23 fourth grade students from Miss Laura Rudolph's class at St. Stanislaus Catholic Elementary School in Wardsville, which is just east of Jefferson City. They're also accompanied by several parents, and I would ask that they all stand, be made welcome here today at the Missouri State Senate.
It looks like your guests are standing. Senator from the first, what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. If I could get unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest, Mr. President.
Seeing no objections, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Over here on the side gallery on my left and your right, Mr. President, is a good friend and the chief, Brian Hendrick, of the Melville Fire Department District in my district in the first. And I wanted to welcome the chief and thank him for all his hard work and that of the Melville Fire District. Thank you, Mr. President.
All right. The Missouri thanks the chief for his service to our state. Any other senator from St. Francois?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent not to introduce anybody. Thank you.
Senators, continue your debate.
Since there's been so many guests, I know my members want to go and spend some quality time with them rather than sit here and debate this on the floor. So I'll lay this bill on the informal calendar, knowing that we'll have a chance to discuss this a little bit later at some point in the future when the pro tem wears that same green tie.
That bill will be laid on the informal calendar. Staying on the formal calendar, Senator from Christian. Oh, Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
All right. Senate Bill 667 will be placed on the informal calendar. Staying on the informal calendar, Senate Bill 788, Senator from the 4th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 7088, with committee substitute, be taken up for perfection.
Senator from the 4th moves that Senate Bill 788 be taken up for perfection. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill, or that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 7888 be adopted.
Senator from the 4th moves that Senate Bill 788 be, that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 788 be adopted. Senator from the 4th, would you like to explain your bill?
Yes, I do. This is a bill that directs the circuit clerk of the 22nd Judicial Circuit of the City of St. Louis to be an appointed position instead of being elected by the citizens of St. Louis. We're not unique in this. The circuits and or the counties of Platte, Clay, Jackson, and St. Louis County currently do this now. We're in a position in St. Louis where we have a nonpartisan court plan and a partisan circuit clerk, so we kind of contradict each other there. And finally, this is the last element of a cost-saving strategy adopted by the 22nd Judicial Circuit. To date, they've trimmed their budget by $513,000 annually. With this consolidation, we'll trim another $195,000. This is more about being a good steward of the taxpayers' money. As you know, the city of St. Louis, we're struggling with the police pensions, with the fire pensions. Any opportunity that we can do to, even the small ones, to save some money for the taxpayers, I think we ought to be doing it. So with that, Mr. President, I'm open to any questions.
Does any senator wish to be heard on Senate Bill 788? Senator from Johnson, what reason do you rise?
Inquire the maker of the bill.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you. Can you just be, tell me what the bill number is? Because a couple of times it sounded like you said 7888. So what is the bill
number? 788.
788. Okay. And this just affects your part of the state, is that right?
Only the city of St. Louis.
Okay.
22nd Judicial District.
Great.
Circuit.
And the bill number again?
788.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other senator wish to be heard on 788? Senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire of the senator from the 4th?
Senator from the 4th, do you yield?
Do.
Proceed.
Senator, that was an interesting inquiry that you just came out of, wasn't it?
Yes, I didn't realize the acoustics in the chamber were so bad.
Yeah, I guess the senator from Johnson was concerned that we were on the 7,888th bill of the session. He wanted to clarify that of course, that we don't introduce that many bills in the Senate, do we? Interesting. Senator, so again, what your bill would accomplish is, and you know, I'm always interested in good stewardship of the people's money, you know, the idea that, as you mentioned, they have realized some savings over the last couple of years, and this would be the kind of the cap of the, you know, on the, or maybe the icing on the cake or the cherry on top of the icing as far as the savings is concerned.
The last and final segment.
I got it. Okay. Now, one thing that does concern me, and I'd be interested to have your feedback on this and maybe the feedback of a couple of the other senators that districts touch the city as mine does, we certainly are taking away from the people of St. Louis City their right to vote on this position currently, because currently they have the ability to vote for the circuit clerk. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So what we'd be doing with your legislation is we'd be taking away from the people of the city of St. Louis their involvement in the process, their involvement to vote this position into place, and we'd be handing over more power to the judges.
Well, that's accurate, but, you know, again, you know, this is changing times. There was a time in Missouri and in St. Louis where we voted for dog catchers because there was such a problem with dogs.
Really?
Really. So as we grow up and as we move along and as we evolve, sometimes what used to be necessary isn't necessary anymore.
You know what I used to say when I first got into this business of serving the people was, I used to say to people, you know, I've never even been elected a dog catcher.
That's so because you were born too late.
They actually did elect dog catchers?
They actually elected dog catchers.
I wasn't aware of that.
I just made that up. You're not in your appropriate time.
I can remember when I ran in 1994, and I decided that I was going to run for the House of Representatives. I had some people down in my area come to me and say, why don't you run for Congress against Congressman Gephardt? And my response to that was, you got to be kidding me. I haven't even been elected a dog catcher yet, and you want me to run against the second most powerful Democrat in the country?
So I would have encouraged you,
I thought I made that up. I thought I made up the dog catcher.
I would have encouraged you to run against Gephardt.
Yeah, now or then?
Now.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it. Mr. President?
Senator First has the floor.
Yes. Can I inquire of... I think the senator from Stoddard has a...
Stoddard, you...
Thank you, Mr. President. I seek unanimous consent to introduce special guest.
Seeing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have with us today a group of fourth grade students from Caruthersville Elementary School. Some of them are seated there in front of the dais. Others are to the right of you, Mr. President. Others are up in the gallery, but they have chaperones here today. They are Natalie Johnson, Lugina Kuntz, and Dana Constant. And the fourth graders, I believe, that we have here on the floor, and I ask that they be named pages of the day without compensation, are Laura Constant, Will Constant, Alyssa O'Dell, and Bailey Weber. Mr. President, they have come all the way from Pemiscot County in Caruthersville, beautiful sight along the Mississippi River, to be here at the Missouri Senate today, and I would ask the body to welcome them.
If the guests would please rise, and let's recognize the guests from Stoddard. Senator from the First.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire the Senator from the Fifth?
Senator from the Fifth is not in the chamber. Sergeant at Arms summons the Senator. Senator from Green, what reason do you rise?
Mr. President, while we're waiting on the Senator from the Fifth, I would seek unanimous consent to also introduce some special guests here in the chamber.
Seeing no objections, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On your right and my left, we're joined by Jay and Denise Maddox and their children, Samantha and Tucker, who are from Springfield. Samantha and Tucker are on spring break in Springfield Public Schools, and they've decided to come up as a family today and observe the legislature. They've had an opportunity to be on the other end of the building, and they decided to come and also observe here in the Missouri Senate. I'd ask that the body make them feel welcome.
If the senators from Green's guests would please rise, let's recognize them. It's always nice to have families in the Missouri Senate. We are waiting for the Senator from the First.
Can I inquire the Senator from Green?
Senator,
we're waiting for the Senator from the Fifth.
Do you yield?
Yes.
Proceed.
Thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Certainly.
You have guests from your district here today?
Yes, the Tucker family.
The Tucker family. Welcome. Well, has the Tucker family ever seen the Senate during a filibuster?
No, I'm not sure that they have.
No? Well, they had to stick around for a couple hours because we're about ready to have one.
There's often an opportunity for that observation in this body, isn't there?
So you'll have plenty of time maybe to go over and visit with your constituents, get some photos taken, and have Harrison come down. And
we have had an opportunity to have Harrison snap a picture over here in the Pershing Gallery. And they've got the entire day up here, so perhaps they'll see that opportunity.
Well, after I talk to a number of our colleagues, then I've got a book that I've been really anxious to read to the body, and it is of the Federalist Papers.
Good book.
Fabulous. Fabulous reading. So I
tried to get all the way through the Federalist Papers, and I kept falling asleep. I made the mistake of trying to read it at night.
Well, here's the trick. This is kind of a rewrite in a little bit more of our modern day.
Yeah, I was reading it in the old time language.
Well, that's really awesome. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mr. President,
first.
We're waiting on the Senator from the 5th. Can I inquire the Senator from the 5th?
Senator from the 5th is not in the chambers. We have summoned the Senator from the 5th.
Ah,
there she is.
She is. Thank you. There was seven of them.
Senator from the 5th, do you yield to the Senator from the 1st?
I do.
Proceed.
How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Lovely in your green this morning.
And you look lovely in that tie.
Thank you.
It kind of matches.
That's right.
Indeed, indeed.
Senator, I wanted to inquire of you because this is a bill that the Senator from the 4th has before the body that affects all of our constituents in the city of St. Louis.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to get your take on it because I think it's important for us to know, you know, how our constituents feel about how a bill affects them. So the Senator from the 4th confirmed that under current law and the way it's structured, currently our constituents have a vote to establish who the circuit clerk of that circuit court is in the city of St. Louis.
Yes.
Okay. And what this bill would do is change that so that the judges would be able to appoint the circuit clerk.
Yes.
So I wanted to get your take, how you feel, if you receive feedback on this issue, if you do believe, as I do, that this is taking away a current right that our constituents have to be active in the process and make that decision on who their clerk is for the circuit a court in St. Louis City. So just wanted to see if you had any feedback.
I have had feedback from some of my neighborhood groups. I've had dialogue with them. I've had dialogue with the judges. And I actually support it, Senator. I think it's a prudent way for us to go in the management of the city of St. Louis. And I think it would work okay with our constituents. I polled them not only about this when I was out talking, but I also polled them about the Capitol cameras. So I came back with a little bit of information on both of these issues because I knew it would come up. I knew that some of our colleagues would have issues with it. But it would be a prudent and effective way to manage the city in this instance. Of course, you know we're living under a very old charter in the city of St. Louis. And we're trying to do some things to manage it from the mayor's office all the way to here to the General Assembly as to how we manage the city of St. Louis. And it would be a good thing, actually.
Okay. So what you've heard from the polling of your constituents is that they would be okay with this.
They would be okay with this.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
You're so welcome.
I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Mr. President,
Senator from the 1st.
Could I inquire the Senator from the 14th?
Senator the 14th. Is moving towards your desk. Senator from the 14th, you yield to Senator the 1st. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for the inquiry this morning. We have some very good-looking pages this morning, don't we?
Yes, I love their red shirts.
I think they're ready to get to work. Hopefully we'll have some, maybe we'll come up with some amendments or something for this bill where we can, you know, so that they've got a little something to do. I'll work on that. I'm not asking you to do that.
It could be entertaining. But I was telling you offline just a second ago that the Federalist Papers were actually written in seven different languages.
Seven different languages. That's fascinating.
Don't ask me which ones.
That is fascinating, though. I mean, because if you really look at, you know, what the purpose was of the Federalist Papers, it was to convince the people actually of New York, the state of New York, to ratify the Constitution. You know, what a great collection, you know, of essays, you know, written by, you know, three of the, you know, the founders, and I guess it was Madison, Hamilton, and Jay. I didn't put those in any certain order as far as Madison was my favorite, you know, out of those three. But my question for you, as I question the senator from the 5th, because I know that you and I have worked on issues in the past that have affected the voters in the city of St. Louis.
Yes.
Okay. And I just want to get your take on the fact that this piece of legislation introduced from the senator from the 4th certainly would change the law from where it currently stands to where the voters of the city of St. Louis have the ability to vote for their circuit clerk for the circuit in St. Louis City. And what this bill would do is change that so that that position would be appointed by the judges, okay? And my concern is, with this bill, that that would take power away from the people and give more power to the judges in that circuit. So I just wanted to see if you had received any feedback, what your thoughts are with that, and, you know, where we are.
One, I have to say, sometimes we end up being hypocritical in some of what our thought processes are. But I would say, one, I'm not from the city of St. Louis. Number two, I would say any time the vote is taken away from the people, that's a problem. I realize that there was a circuit clerk that was questionable. But through our process, through the process of people voting and going to their poll sites and such, they were able to get rid of this person. So
yeah, he actually lost the last election,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, it was solved. And, you know, just like we have term limits, our term limits are elections. You know, either the majority of people like us or they don't like us. But that should not be, and sometimes there are people who we really just don't like who are elected, but we have to wait that term out. And, you know, just put all of our ducks in a row for the next go-round and be well-organized and get out our message. But I would naturally, whatever the issue is, I would probably want, with some exceptions, I would want there to be an election. But I just looked at this morning. It seems like a really simple bill. But I do understand what your issues would be. Because inherently, I mean, the people are the folks who brought us here. And I don't want to take the power away from people. And when you and I stand here, we are speaking on behalf of the people that we represent. And I tell that to my constituents all the time. You know, I am your voice. I have no agenda. And I'm here to fight for what you believe in. You may not like how I do it, but I'm getting done what you want me to get done.
Right.
And anytime that is taken, I mean, you know, that judge would have to be accountable to who? To other judges or to the people?
Great, great point. I mean, you know, I would liken it to the idea that if you had elected leaders of this body in the majority caucus, the minority caucus, and all of a sudden we passed a bill to say that that those leaders would appoint, you know, people for, you know, come November, you know, for the seats that are up, you know, instead of them going to the people and letting the people elect those representatives or senators, that the leadership would do so. You know, my real concern in this is, again, you know, where's the check of the people, you know, on this position? We're taking that check of the people, putting that person in that role, and turning it over to, you know, the judges. And that's a little concerning. And I know the senator from the 5th said that she's talked to constituents in her district and leaders within the district, and that they're comfortable with it. But I get a little concerned, you know, like you said, when we start taking something that currently is a vote of the people and taking that away from them. I mean, you know, and I thought, you know, you brought the point up before I did. There's been friction down there, and it was friction caused by somebody who held that post, right? And obviously, whoever ran against him made the case that this isn't the way it should be run, okay? And I can do a better job on you, on behalf of the people, the voters. Put me in there. And they made the change. You know, it's very difficult to be an incumbent, right?
It is.
So obviously, this candidate made the case that the incumbent was not working well with others. You know, the judges didn't like him. All right? And that, you know, the way he was running the office, I guess, you know, could have been done better. So that candidate, that opponent, made the case that, you know, you should elect me to this position and not re-elect the incumbent.
Well, I would be interested to know whether or not some of the problems within the office have been resolved in practices in the office. And I just remember in the papers years ago, the name was brought up in several times in the newspaper, and I guess the question surrounded maybe ethical issues, perhaps. This was a while ago, so I don't really remember, but again, there's a new person who's in that position, and so I just hope if things have been changed, then that's good. For the benefit of the people, but, you know, again, we have term limits, they're called elections,
right?
And if people aren't satisfied, you know, they have a voice, and that voice is at the poll.
I just wonder if this is a little premature to bring this bill up, because we have this new person in the position.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from the fourth.
I'd like to ask that this bill be placed on the informal calendar.
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Staying on the formal calendar, Senator from Lawrence. Senator from Strathair.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I would need to wait until you call for the bill, and then I would ask for it to be placed on the informal calendar.
Okay. Senator,
Senator from Lawrence is in the room.
Senator from Lawrence, we're on the formal calendar, Senate Bill 767 et al.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 767 et al. Be brought before the body for perfection.
Senator from Lawrence moves that Senate Bill 767 et al. Is brought before the body. Those taking up for perfection, those that think that motion should prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those that think that to the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 767 is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 767 et al. Be perfected and order printed. I'll run quickly through the Senate Committee substitute, most of which is not my legislation. So I may, if you have questions, ask that you inquire of those who submitted the underlying proposals. The first provision is mine. I was contacted by a naval veteran who was a recipient of a Navy Cross and asked that we create that license plate opportunity for folks in Missouri. Then there's a designation of a Sergeant Isaac B. Jackson Memorial Highway, Specialist James Burnett Jr. Memorial Highway, Missouri Foxtrotting Highway, Bob Swat Memorial Bicycle and Pedestrian Bridge, Gerald B. Rainer Memorial Highway, Breast Cancer Awareness Special License Plates, Missouri Junior Gold Foundation Special, I think that's supposed to be Junior Golf Foundation special license plates, and the I Have a Dream special license plate. If folks have questions, I'll answer the ones about my part and hope that others will answer the questions about their parts. I renew my motion.
Senator, could you repeat your motion? According to the Secretary, you have not made the motion to adopt the substitute.
Oh, I will move the adoption of the substitute. Thank
Senator,
you.
Senator from Lawrence moves to adopt Senate Committee substitute for 767 et al. Any discussion on that? Senator from Cape.
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the Senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, do you yield?
I do yield.
Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. Do you serve on the Transportation Committee?
I did find myself on the Transportation Committee.
Okay, so you're on this Transportation Committee, and I'm going to inquire of the senator from Saline as well. But here's the deal. We spent some time in the past to set up a process outside of the legislature to do specialty license plates. I've got a copy of it here. All you have to do is fill out the paperwork, and you basically move forward with that. We also have two different ways in which highways are designated. One is the Heroes Way, which I created and was part of my legislation, that has a way in which you can designate them. And then for those that don't fall in there, you can go to the county commissions and ask for them for their designations with MoDOT. It's a very specific process that we do so that, you know, we don't go through these bills, nor do we treat some of them differently. So
I understand, and I think I know where you're going. I think I agree with you on what you're going to say. If I could just take a moment and explain why
right.
I did the Navy Cross.
Okay.
There are very few Navy Cross recipients in the state of Missouri who are still living, and
right.
they're not young people in many cases. So I ordinarily instruct my constituents on the process. In this case, because they were heroic veterans, in limited number, I was willing to put that one forward. And then, by whatever fortune, I stand here on the floor with all these other things hanging off that bill number, which are probably very meritorious, but those processes exist. My intention will not be to take a whole lot of valuable legislative time, I'd like to give it a real try.
No, I understand that. The only thing I'm going to say is yours departs from the regular norm because we're not going to charge them the personalization fee. You exempt them out of...
That's to be consistent with other military plates.
Yeah. So, I hear you. I don't necessarily have an issue with all this. I don't want to delay your bill. I'm going to vote no. I just want you to know why I'm voting no. I'm voting no because we have this process in place. I thought we were going to adhere to it. So I guess we need to withdraw that process because I think either they need to come to the General Assembly and we approve them through the General Assembly, which I think is a legitimate process, or we have a process in place to where it goes outside of the General Assembly and it's done by the Joint Transportation Commission and approved that way. But I just, because where it's putting me in a conundrum is I tell all my constituents that want it, we don't do this. And then when they see these bills pass by, they go, oh, yeah, you do this. And you know, I still stay true to the we don't do this, and I'm not. So I guess I modify now and say I'm not doing this.
But I understand, and I tried to have the same position, but there is a section that requires the military plates to be codified by statute. So that's how I got where I am.
So the Navy Cross is considered a...
It's a naval military plate, yeah.
A military plate.
Right, which is under 301-144.
Okay. All right. I wasn't aware that the specialty license plate development process said that military... I guess you have to have a legislative process to exempt them out of the normal personalization fee.
Right. And I think...
So that's why you need legislation.
Right.
Okay. Because I don't see... Well, I just printed off the website where that is. All right, Senator, I appreciate the inquiry, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Senator from Cape.
Can I inquire the Senator from Saline?
Senator from Saline, do you yield?
I yield.
Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. And you and I have talked off the floor about this. I don't want to belabor the bill. I understand the position that you're in. I think most of these would get approval if they went through the statutory legislative process. I didn't know if you had any more additional insights as to this Missouri Department of Revenue specialty license plate development process versus the application for signage under the Heroes Way interchange program and then the highway naming process outlined in sections 21.795 301 and in chapter 301.
Senators, you know, one of the first bills I passed down here tried to create
standardized
and a way to kind of cut down the amount of floor time involved. The problem we ran into, the Supreme Court threw it out, and basically we continue to have a muddled position. Some things, there are some license plates where the groups go through the joint committee, and that works very well. We meet two or three times a year, approve them. If they jump through all the hoops, we pass them. But I think that there was, and I cannot state the exact reason, but you know, we still have legislators that want to put bills through, and I think the Supreme Court doesn't allow us to not do that. So.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, and I assume every one of these has got a legislator that is behind it from the, you know, I find it ironic that we have the I Have a Dream special license plate with the Don't Tread on Me license plate. This would be the most bipartisan bill.
Very interesting situation, Senator. But all of those have met the fundamental criteria
of where we're at,
the deposit of money and everything that it takes to get it done. So.
Oh, they. I mean, we still have those requirements.
The only ones that don't have the requirement are the military plates.
Are the Navy Cross, so they don't have the 100 threshold, and they don't have to pay the $25 personalization fee. They just pay the $15 on top of their registration to pay for basically the license plate.
Right.
Okay. And then box-trotting highways. We do the same thing with the highways. Are we making sure that MoDOT isn't paying for any of these signs?
No, all the signs are paid for by private.
Okay.
They still have to meet the same criteria, whether they go through here or go through the...
Okay. So in the legislation that you passed out, we're not, like, doing anything different than what the regular process would have been. So we don't have one of these where the taxpayers are going to pay for this sign. It's all private donations.
The only one would be the military plate.
And that's the Navy Cross one. Because I see we've got a whole lot of house bills that are out there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 house bills that are doing designations of highways and license plates that I assume we'll get at some point.
And I keep having house members coming over and say, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do this?
Yeah.
What I like to
do. I tell all of them, May 18th, we'll start hearing house bills. May 18th. So you can line up your witnesses. You have my word that all of the house bills we will start hearing May 18th. So, okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it, Senator. Like I said, I'm just going to vote no. Don't want to delay it anymore, but that's kind of the reason I'm there. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other discussion on Senate Bill 767? Senator from the 13th, what reason do you rise?
Why are the senator from Saline?
Senator from Saline, do you yield to the senator from the 13th?
Yes.
Proceed.
Senator, I was listening to the debate. Don't Tread on Me isn't part of this bill, is it? It is part of
the bill. We passed the Don't Tread on Me last year.
And it got vetoed.
No. This is a more definite.
Don't Tread on Me didn't get vetoed last year? Did it pass last year?
But the design was different. This is changing the design to suit the folks.
Are we sure it didn't get vetoed?
Huh? No, it passed.
But it got vetoed.
No. The design that the Department of Revenue came up with did not suit the folks, and this redoes the design.
Okay. It passed. It was signed with other license plate bills. And Department of Revenue came up with a
design that did not suit the legislature.
I mean, are we really promoting Missouri tourism by saying don't tread on me?
Senator, I would guess that it would It depends on where you are. We have some legislators that are very passionate about this being done, and there are license plates on the other side of the aisle that I probably wouldn't.
Is there any other state that has "Don't Tread on Me"?
What's that?
Is there any other state that has "Don't Tread on Me"?
Yeah,
I guess, are they southern states?
Massachusetts, I think. No, I think it's New Hampshire. Somebody in the Northeast. I'm sure it's New Hampshire.
Well, possibly one of the original 13 colonies, because that was part of the statement by the Confederates, or not the. When we created the American Revolution, part of the saying during that was "Don't tread on me" to the British government. So being one of the original 13 colonies might give that
it's just a license plate.
Where is "Don't tread on me" in this piece of legislation? I went through it.
Okay, so it's I take that back. It's not in this bill. There's a House bill coming.
Okay.
I may want to keep it separate, you're telling me.
Okay.
Hey, I was just quoting my colleague. I haven't got the list in front of me.
I'm doing something creative here. I'm reading the bill, and I didn't see it in here, so I was wondering when it was mentioned why we're talking about it in the bill. But I need to quit reading legislation. Thank you.
Sorry, Senator.
Any other senators wishing to be heard on the senator from Lawrence's motion? Seeing none, Senator from the 14th, what reason do you write? Senator from the 13th, do you yield?
Yes, I yield.
I forgot this microphone. Actually, I'm trying to stall right now because I have an amendment.
Oh.
And it's getting printed right now, and I just wanted to add some language on there. As you know, Harriet Woods was a former member of this body and one of my predecessors.
Could you speak up so everyone can hear you talk about the amendments you're going to propose?
Yes. So
I know you tend to have a very soft voice, but I think you should tell everyone what you want. So if you could be a little louder.
I apologize. So I'm getting an amendment worked up right now. This is something I wanted to do for a while. Harriet Woods was a former member of this body and one of our former lieutenant governors. And because I represent
her, I think she was the first statewide.
Was the first female statewide office holder. And because we are in this place right now, typically I do not get involved with transportation or highway bills at all, but this seemed like a really great opportunity to add something that I've been wanting to do for a very long time, and hopefully we can have the support of the body.
Going to name Delmar Boulevard, Harriet Woods Boulevard?
Actually, the section of 170 between Delmar and 270, which is approximately the same.
Okay.
So it gets to the edge of your district.
The edge.
So I have the southern portion and you have the northern portion.
Okay.
I hope
sounds
that I
good.
Could,
you're ready to go, aren't you?
I think I'm ready to go.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
I move for its adoption.
Has the amendment been distributed?
It has not, and I do not seek a waiver of the reading.
Madam Secretary, read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Chappelle Nadal, to amend Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 767 et al., page 10, section 301.3165, line 69, by inserting immediately after said line the following, quote, section 1, the stretch of Interstate 170 from its intersection with Interstate 270 on the north to its intersection with Delmar Boulevard on the south, shall be designated the Harriet Woods Memorial Highway. The Department of Transportation shall erect and maintain appropriate signs designating such highway, with the cost for such designation to be paid for by private donation, close quote, and further amend the title and enacting clause accordingly.
Senator from 14, do you care to explain your amendment?
It's been explained, and no questions. I renew my motion.
Does any senator desire to speak on the amendment? Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
Hear my motion.
Senator from 14 moves for adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Amendment Number 1 passes. Any other discussion? Senator from Lawrence, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew the motion for the adoption of the substitute.
Senator from Lawrence renews his motion to adopt committee, Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 767. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Lawrence.
Mr. President, now I move that Senate Bills 767 et al. Be perfected and ordered printed.
Senator from Lawrence renews his motion. Senator Lawrence moves for the collection of perfection and declares perfected in order printed. Anybody wishing to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, recognized to close on that motion.
I close, Mr. President. Thank you.
Senator Lawrence renews his motion that Senate Bill Number 767 be declared perfected in order printed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 767 has been declared perfected and order printed. Staying on that calendar, Senator from Phelps, Senate Bill 557.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 557 be taken up for perfection.
Senator from Phelps moves that Senate Bill 557 be brought before the body. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill number 557 be declared perfected and ordered printed. And what this bill does, this was actually brought forth from the district, like most of our legislation should be. This is a gentleman and his son that rebuilds vehicles with salvage titles. And what they were running into, they rebuild a lot of vehicles that are actually used for farm use or in the woods, people cutting wood, things like that. These are vehicles that are 10 years old and older, and they were running into some problems when they took them to the highway patrol. Mechanically, everything was good, but there might be a little dent by the bumper or a small cosmetic problem. And because the law says that they have to be repaired or restored to their original appearance, they were getting kicked back and have to spend another quite a bit of money to bring them to original appearance. And a lot of these, mostly of what we're talking here are trucks. It could be cars, but most of them are trucks. And they're used on farms. They're used, hay beds are going to be put on them. And it seems like kind of common sense legislation. And this says if the vehicle is over 10 years of age, then they don't have to be restored to absolutely the original appearance. Everything else applies, mechanically, everything else. And they felt that it would lower the costs because a lot of people buying these vehicles may be on some economic hard times and can't afford to buy a new $50,000 diesel truck. So that's the gist of the bill. Be glad to answer any questions.
Senator from Phelps moves for the adoption of Senate Bill 557. Any senator wishing to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I renew my motion.
Senator from Phelps renews his motion to adopt, to perfect Senate Bill 557. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Phelps. You have it declared perfected and printed. We're staying on that calendar. Senate Bill 633. Senator from St. Francois.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 633 to be taken up for perfection.
Senator from St. Francis moves to bring Senate Bill 633 before the body. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes have it. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a Senate floor sub that I'd like to send forward, and I would I have a motion that I have to make on sending that forward. So I make the motion.
You have to make for the adoption of the committee
I
sub.
I make the motion for the adoption of the sub.
All right. Senator from St. Francois moves for the adoption of the committee sub for Senate Bill 633. And has offered a floor sub and has sent that forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed, and I ask for a waiver of its reading.
Waiver, seeing no objection, the waiver will be waived. Would you care to explain the...
Yes. The waiver is waived. I appreciate that, Mr. President. What this was, I brought this up. There is a company less than a mile from my house that scraps cars, and they've got the most latest technology. They put the car in there, and it separates the metal from the plastic, from the leather, the whole bit. And I was over there one Saturday watching this process because I wanted to learn, and the guy says, well, we've got a problem. Metal prices have went up so much that people are bringing in cars, derelict cars out of the fields, which is a good thing in my area because we got a lot of them. And so they're bringing, and I see go by my house, these flatbeds with all these cars on it. But what he says, the biggest hassle I have, if somebody wrecked their car 10 years ago and it's completely dismantled, disabled, they still have to have a title. And I have the state patrol in here all the time wanting to make sure that I have titles. Well, a lot of these cars have been sitting in a field for years, do not have a title. So we brought this bill to the committee, and we had almost a dozen different groups testify on their interests. The bankers, the credit unions, the car dealers, the scrappers, a wide variety of people. And somebody comment, you're never going to get them together. Well, we met for hour after hour after hour because this is a problem. And the bankers and the credit unions want to make sure that their liens are protected. So what we did is we came up with a bill that is a hybrid that we stole language from different states that are doing this effectively. And what it says is that if a car is under 10 years old, yes, you have to have the complete title and everything else. If it's between 10 and 20 years old, the scrap metal operator has to verify with the Department of Revenue that no liens exist, and they've come up with a system to do that. They have to submit a copy of the seller's state ID, so there can't be somebody that's just stealing this off of somebody's property. They have to show their ID and keep record of that to the Department of Revenue. And they have to submit to the Department of Revenue the bill of sale designed by Department of Revenue director to certify that the vehicle is at least 10 years old and is operable and that the seller has legal authority to sell the vehicle. So you can't just steal a car and run it out there. If the motor vehicle is inoperable and at least 20 years old, then the scrap metal operator is not required to verify the existence of any liens to the DROR, and both the banks, everybody that loans money says they're not loaning money on cars over 20 years old. Upon the receipt of the information, DOR will cancel any title and registration on the vehicle, and if the scrapper cannot provide that, they can't scrap the vehicle. Now, we took the deal, we had one more hiccup, and that's why we have this floor substitute, because we use this definition, now I've got to find, as operable, inoperable. For it to be inoperable, it means that a motor vehicle that is rusted, wrecked, discarded, worn out, extensively damaged, dismantled, and mechanically inoperative condition. And the credit unit said that wasn't tight enough. So we put on there, and that's what this sub does, and the vehicle's highest and best use is for scrap purposes.
And that satisfied them to say that now, if it is rusted, dismantled, discarded, and the best use is to scrap it, and the highest use is to scrap it, and that will take care of the floating prices of metal, because you can determine whether that's the best use, then they have to do these things from year 10 to 20. Unbelievably, everybody has signed off on it and has agreed that this will solve the problem. I said we stole some language from several states that have rectified this problem. This wasn't a problem when all you could get was $50, but now that you can get a few hundred dollars for a scrap vehicle, they're bringing in old bed springs on these flatbeds, they're bringing in anything that's got any metal. This, I believe, will take care of the problem, and with that wording that we're adding with the floor substitution, will satisfy the credit unions. Hopefully we have it solved. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. President. If not, I would renew my motion.
We are on Senate Committee Substitute Number 1 for Senate Bill 633. Senator from Lawrence, for what purpose?
The President,
do you rise?
To inquire of the sponsor.
I yield.
Senator from St. Francois, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. I'll be brief. I appreciate that you are trying to accommodate other interested parties with your new language, but you've created a concern for me, because we now, in the Goodman household, have two cars, arguably whose highest and best use
would be scrap.
That's how my wife and I get around.
Yeah.
But hopefully the rest of the language in your bill...
Are they all so rusted, wrecked, discarded, worn out, extensively damaged, dismantled, and mechanically inoperative?
Yeah, there's still nothing that gets us out there.
Well, it took care of your family problem, though.
That's right.
Somebody stole Grandma's car.
Right.
And had it scrapped.
Three senators on the floor.
I'd like to raise a point of order. Our rules say the senator should not refer to senators' names, and that includes mentioning your own name on the Senate floor.
President.
Senator from Lawrence.
I mentioned my wife's name. If he'd listened to the entire debate, he would know about whom I was speaking.
The debate shall proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President, I will withdraw my point of order.
Point of order has been withdrawn. Thank you, Senator.
Senator, I trust we can deal with this pressing concern as it moves through the House. Thank you for your work on your bill.
Thank you.
Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from St. Francis.
I yield.
Senator from St. Francis yields. He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
Does this mean there's going to be less lawn decorations in certain parts of the state when this piece of legislation passes?
Less what declarations?
Lawn decorations.
Well, in my area...
Three senators on the floor. Senator from the 8th.
Unanimous consent to introduce a special guest.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
From the upper gallery, I have a group of constituents from the 8th Senatorial District down here for district days, and among those constituents is my son in the blue shirt and my wife in the right next to him. If they would all please stand and if this body would make them feel welcome, I would very much appreciate it.
Let's make the friends and family of the Senator of the 8th feel welcome today. Senator from St. Francis, please.
As I was about to tell the Senator that the more descriptive wealth connotation in my district is how many washers and dryers you have on your porch, not how many derelict vehicles yet, unless they're buses. I got a couple with buses, and that's kind of a prestigious thing if you've got buses in your field. But it's how many tires you have on your trailer, on the roof, because holding it down, there's parts of my district, unfortunately, that is a status symbol too. But the metal is getting much and much less, because I've been driving around, I've been seeing where these scrap things, and we use in our area, that is soil erosion prevention, is you put an old vehicle in the creek bed to avoid soil erosion. Though there may be some unintended consequences of this, and we have more eroded soil because there's more scrap vehicles coming to the scrapper.
So the creeks could actually be deeper.
That may be tried. Deep and wide, baby. Deep and wide.
Thank you.
Have something, someplace to take a bath where I live. Thank you.
We We're on Senate Committee Substitute Number 1 for Senate Bill 633. Does any other senator? Senator from the First, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to briefly inquire the senator from St. Francois.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield?
I yield.
Thank you, Senator. Proceed.
Senator, I think that you addressed concerns that were brought to me by the credit unions. So they're happy, or as happy as they can be with this bill now.
Well, you know, let me tell you what they were saying. They were saying, you know, if it's not operable and all those things, if it, right now, used cars are worth something. And so if it's inoperable because it doesn't have a battery, and you could bang out a dent, put a battery in and make it operable, but the best use, best and highest value would be scrapping it.
Right.
That satisfies them. That means that it's worth more as metal than it is a car. And right now, that's very difficult if it's driving.
So they're
satisfied.
My 18-year-old son, who has, in cherry condition, a 1991 Cougar, Mercury Cougar, with 30,000 miles, and he's got a lien on it. You don't have to worry about.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
because you have to prove the best.
And
that's right. The best
stealing that vehicle and taking it and not having a title.
Exactly right.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
We are on Senate Committee Substitute Number 1 on Senate Bill 633. Does any other senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I close.
I close on the floor substitution. Thank you. Senator from St. Francis has moved to renew his motion on Senate Committee Substitute Number 1 for Senate Bill Senate Substitute Number 1 for Senate Bill 633. All those of the opinion in favor of that motion, please say aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
I would move that Senate Bill 633, as amended by the floor substitute, be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion made from the senator from St. Francis. Does anyone else desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I close.
The senator from St. Francis has moved to adopt to perfect Senate Bill 633. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and shall be ordered printed. Thank you. Staying on that same calendar, the senator from the 25th, Senate Bill 755.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 755 of the Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion made by the senator of the 25th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 25th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a Senate substitute that I'd like to bring forward, and I would also like to move for the adoption of that Senate substitute. Ask for a waiver of the reading of that substitute. I believe it has been
There's
distributed.
There's a Senate committee substitute that you need to move the adoption of first.
That's Mr. what I'm doing. I'm moving for the adoption of the Senate substitute.
Senate committee substitute, Senator.
Okay, I move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
The senator from Stoddard has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 755. And
now
has
I have
sent
a,
forward that floor. That
I have sub. A Senate floor substitute that I've sent forward to the dais and move for its adoption.
Has the substitute been distributed?
I believe it has, Mr. President, so I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, waiver shall be granted. Proceed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. This is a piece of legislation that passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's titled the House of Worship Protection Act. All we have changed from the Senate Committee Substitute is we added the word protection to the title. We also replaced the word destruction with obstruction in paragraph 574.035 paragraph 3, subsection 2, and we raised the penalty for disturbing a house of worship by raising the penalty by one level. The first time offense would be a Class B misdemeanor, the second time a Class A misdemeanor, and the third time a Class D felony. This act, what it would do is, if while within the house of worship or when so near as to disturb the order and solemnity of the services, such person who knowingly disturbs a building used for religious purposes by the use of profanity, by rude or indecent behavior, or by making some unreasonable noises, or if such person intentionally or attempts to injure, intimidate, or interfere with any person lawfully exercising their right of religious freedom or seeking access to a house of worship, if they use force, threat, or physical destruction, they would commit the crime. And as I mentioned earlier, a first offense would be a Class B misdemeanor, second offense a Class A misdemeanor, and a subsequent offense, a third one, would be a Class D felony. This legislation also allows those that have been harmed or grieved, creating the crime of disturbing a house of worship, they also would have the ability to pursue a civil relief via injunction, compensatory or punitive damages, also get the cost of the litigation and attorney fees paid for. So with that, Mr. President, I renew my motion for adoption of the Senate substitute.
Senator from Stoddard has moved for the adoption of the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 755. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 11th, are you?
Senator from 25th.
Senator from the Stoddard, do you yield to Senator from the 11th?
Yes, most definitely.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I just had some questions. This is one of these subjects, and I guess I just want to walk through
sure. How
precise we're being, and, you know, nobody wants this. It's just one of these things where sometimes we want to make something a crime, and before we do, I want us to kind of walk through it.
Certainly. I mean, this is a heinous act,
and
we're making it a crime. Right, First Amendment right, which is a very important right.
Well, I'm not even arguing that. I just want to understand what we're putting in law as a crime, really, is where I'm coming from. I agree with you. I don't think you have a right to show up at a church, but it's just sort of,
In this day and age,
we're making it
10, 15, 20 years ago, you would have thought, hey, this is not necessary.
Right.
But we're seeing isolated
incidents. And that's what I'm getting to. Do you mind me asking, what is there something that has necessitated this?
You know, there's some isolated incidents where people, not so much inside a worship facility, but outside, have created disturbances and annoyances and tried to disrupt a service. Occasionally, it happens inside a church.
Do you remember the former senator from Buchanan had
the
funeral bill? And I guess, you know, again, an unimaginable act. And, you know, the nutcase that did that came down and testified down in this body. And I don't want to be unfair to nutcases, but... you're not going to defend this guy, but you also kind of wanted to walk carefully through, you know, funeral and all of that. And now getting back to this, my question is, beginning on line 12, intentionally or unreasonably disturbs, interrupts, disquiets, and then comma, rude or indecent behavior, comma, or making noise. I mean, I guess what I'm hopeful that this would only be applied by a prosecutor somewhere against somebody that's doing something heinous, but should I have any concern about the words rude? Is there a legal definition of that? Is there making noise? Is there... I know you have place of worship, and I assume that covers mosque, but, you know, from time to time there are disputes within religion. I guess I'm just, before we make something a crime that's now a heinous act, I just want to walk through how precise we're being is where I'm coming from.
I think that's fine, Senator. And when you look at line 12, you see first it starts off that the individual has to intentionally... have the state of mind to do that and unreasonably disturb, interrupt, or disquiet any house of worship. So that has to take place first. And so if that occurs by profane discourse, I think that's probably something that we're all probably comfortable with cursing, foul language of that type.
Would you just briefly on that paragraph, I see what you're saying on the first part, but let's go to the next part. Or making noise either within the house of worship or so near as to disturb the order and solemnity of the worship services. I mean, is that clear and precise?
Would you like a question? It does, I think, leave those that have the authority to act some discretion, but obviously it all ties in with the other part of the paragraph. What I mean by that, they have to have the intention. They have to unreasonably disturb, interrupt, or disquiet.
So to get to that part, a prosecutor, if they had some incident like this.
In some other states, I think they have had some rulings regarding noise. I mean, obviously, noise covers a wide array of actions.
But what I'm getting at, Senator, is the first part, the intentional and unreasonable, I mean, that covers somebody incidentally making noise or accidentally making noise.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it does cover somebody who accidentally makes some kind of isolated noise or disturbance. I mean, this has to be an ongoing type of disturbance, and there has to be an intent to do that. I mean, if somebody gets up and coughs during a worship service, obviously their intent is not to disturb the service.
And that the trigger on all this would be, like most of the things that we pass like this, that it would be a prosecutor would have to evaluate this and say, you know, I've got to have a pretty strong case on something like this.
That's true. I mean, it's like any other crime that's in our statutory books. I mean, we leave a prosecutor some discretion. A lot of discretion.
And would you just, we've gone through this before on the floor, but tell me real briefly, you've got disrupting a house of worship is a Class B misdemeanor.
Yeah, right? Class B misdemeanor.
And then a second offense is a Class A.
Right.
What is a Class B misdemeanor? What's a Class A?
Yeah, Class B misdemeanor, you could get as much as 6 months in the county jail or a fine up to $500 or a combination of both. And so on the second act would be, if you were convicted, it would be a Class A misdemeanor, which could get you up to 1 year in the county jail or a $1,000 fine or a combination of the two. And then a Class D felony carries with it a penalty up to 4 years would be the maximum in the Department of Corrections.
Okay. Those are the questions I have. Thank you, Senator. By the way, that's very brilliant tie you're wearing today.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
We're on the motion of the Senator from Stoddard. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Cape, what purpose do you seek recognition?
I have an amendment. It has not been distributed. It's short. It can be read. I'm sending it forward.
Send your amendment forward. Senator, would you like to move for the, we'll do this amendment. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1 offered by Senator Crowell to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 755, pages 2 through 4, section 574.085, by striking all of said section from the bill and further amend the title and enacting clause accordingly.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President. I move for the adoption of the amendment if I can inquire the Senator from Stoddard.
Senator from Stoddard, you yield. Yes, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding. What my amendment does is basically on page 3 of your bill that then rolls over to page 4 on the backside, you have that provision that's in there that says, in addition to any criminal penalty for violating the provisions of this section, any aggrieved person by conduct prohibited under this section may commence a civil action for appropriate relief, yada, 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 TROs, injunctive relief, all of that. I think you already have, in law, TROs in preliminary and permanent injunction, incident to trespass. I don't know. It's just my thought that you know, we want to kind of limit the litigation that goes on here. I understand what you're trying to do. In full context, I'm going to vote no. I don't think we should create any new felonies till we have that review that I've talked about, which is, I think we need to have an honest discussion about what taxpayers are willing to pay $20,000 a year to house a criminal on, because I can promise you, as you well know, in our neck of the woods, if we make this a crime, there's going to be prosecutors that start prosecuting to the fullest extent that's allowed.
Yeah, I would imagine they will. I would hope that we wouldn't see too many of these, but you never know. And, you know, it's unfortunate that you even have to come forward with this type of legislation.
There is
some isolated incidents that are going on in synagogues and churches,
right,
that disturb me, that they're happening, and it would be good to put something of this nature in place. As you know, it seems to be running kind of rampant throughout society and in other institutions. I don't foresee a rash of prosecutions, but I don't have any big problem with your amendment, because, as you said, we do have temporary restraining orders and injunctions available for relief now.
Right. And basically, I see that I didn't get this all together. So if I could ask
on
page two, number five as well, is the same language. Well, I don't mean to. I can do it real quick if we just want to vote it, and then I can. I think no one's here, so we basically what I'm wanting to do is to get rid of number five as well on page two, and then number four on page three. And I think.
Yeah, I think it's.
So, does that tie come with batteries, sir?
Is it that bright?
It come? No, I'm just kidding.
You know, I really. It took me a long time to.
It really brings the blue. Time. It really brings the blue in your hair out.
So my gray hair is turning to blue now. Huh?
At least you got it, Senator. At least you got it.
Well, you know,
I'd trade. I'd take gray over none.
My
any
boys
day
used
of the week.
To tease me about it and say, "Hey, listen, at my age, I'm just proud to have it."
I'm with you. At my age, is even though we went to college together and law school together, I'm a heck of a lot younger than you, Senator.
Well, you know,
and you still got more hair than
when you look at the birth certificate, you are. But
I agree. When you look at a reverse, what do they call them, mugshot. So if we would turn around and kind of raise our chins on a reverse mugshot, I'm sure I look a lot older.
No,
than
I don't know about that. You're about 20 years younger than I am.
I'm 29.
29. I apologize.
I told my wife when we got married that part of the conditions were we swapped birthdays and ages, so I married an older woman.
I understand.
It worked out really well.
I wouldn't quite agree with you on that one, but, you know, it's been a
while. Yeah, she doesn't like it at all.
It's been a while since we had those days in political science, constitutional law course.
Minkowski.
With your buddy, Professor Smith.
Yeah, and you were in a unique situation. You're in a unique situation because, you know, I was as adversarial in undergraduate with the college professor
really
as I ever am with the president.
Some things don't change, Senator, and so I appreciate your consistency.
Exactly. Mr. President.
Senator from Kate.
Can you send my amendment back?
It will be sent back.
I have a new amendment I would like to send forward.
Send it forward, Senator.
It has not been distributed. I do not request a waiver of the reading. It is short, and as such, request that it be
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 2, offered by Senator Crowell to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 755, page 2, Section 574.035, lines 8 through 14, by striking all of said lines, and further amend said bill, pages 2 through 4, section 574.085, by striking all of said section from the bill, and further amend the title and enacting clause accordingly.
Thank you.
Senator from Kate.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption of the amendment just for the body. We're taking out number 5 on page 2 and number 4 on page 3. The senator from Stoddard and I have discussed it. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator
otherwise.
Senator Cape has moved to the adoption of Senate Amendment number 2. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized.
I close.
Close. Senator from Cape has moved to adoption of Senate Amendment number 2. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the motion of the senator from Stoddard. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Senator from Stoddard.
Senator from Stoddard, do you yield?
Thank you.
I yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. This is serious business because crime for being rude. And I was listening to the debate between you and the other senator, and I just am not sure that creating a crime for being intentionally rude that disquiets the house of worship is it's so subject to opinion. Like, what's rude? What's rude to one person might not be rude to another. And I can't imagine that you could be rude unintentionally. I mean, you're going to be rude. It's intentional.
Yeah, not necessarily. I've known people that were rude that I'm not sure they did it intentionally.
I'm worried that somebody who is rude, it might be used against them in a way that I'm just really confused about this. I know you have great intentions. The other
I'm
question
sure
is,
you do too, Senator.
The other question is, what's
Senator
indecent?
From St. Francis thought maybe you're being rude.
You might think that I'm being rude inquiring of you, but I'm not.
I don't think you're being profane, but
no,
not yet.
What about indecent? What's indecent? What's indecent to one person may not be. I mean, what if you...
I think there's standards that have been established by the courts when it comes to indecency.
That's a good answer. I don't know about those standards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are standards?
They are.
Where can the standards be found? Are they...
They can be found in Missouri case law and be a good place to start. A lot of cases have defined...
Yeah, I don't know about
indecency.
This. So you're telling me that there is a body of case law that kind of outlines what the court would interpret as rude and what the court would interpret as indecent.
Yes.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a lot better about it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion.
Mr. President.
Senator from Stoddard.
Would you lay this bill over, put it on the informal calendar?
That bill would be placed on the informal calendar. The junior senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Announcements. The Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on the Judiciary will meet today at 2:30 p.m. in Senate Committee Room 1 just for executive session.
Further announcements. Senator from Lewis. Announcements.
Yes, Mr. President. Your Committee on Agriculture, Food, and Natural Outdoor Resources will be meeting shortly down in SCR 1.
Further announcements. The chair would like to announce that the Education Committee will begin promptly at 1:30 in the Senate Lounge. Education, 1:30 in the Senate Lounge. Further announcements. Further announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President, without objection. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand in recess until 3 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We'll be in recess till 3 p.m. this day.